I don't know why that video didn't work just now, but chatters, chatties, welcome home for A Great American Chat, a podcast where we chat about great American media. I'm Chad Maurice, and it's a Tuesday afternoon. Oh man, last night was a lonely Monday. No county rescue. It felt really weird not seeing Bill Abbott doing his Instagram live at 7:30 with the cast from the show, and it was weird not watching the show and live posting on X at 8 o'clock when the show was on. And I wasn't the only one that was feeling it. There were people on X that posted about it as well, saying it felt weird that County Rescue wasn't on and that we weren't watching and live posting about it. But have no fear. More programming is coming soon, I'm sure. Got some mystery movies coming up shortly, I would imagine. I would think so, since they advertised about them. Also coming up later this month, April 25th, the Great American Book Club is meeting. Cammy and Father Randy will be discussing Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. And today we are chatting about Just in Time, the movie that premiered last Tuesday. Stars Laura Osnes, Peter Bryant, and Grayston Holt, directed by Paula Ellie, written by Taylor Kalupa and Maisie McLean. So here are our cast of characters. We have Hannah. She owns a greenhouse. We have Franklin. He owns a metal detector, and he likes to return lost items to people who when he finds an item, he looks up online who's looking for the item and returns it to them. And then there's Rowan. He is Hannah's husband, who we don't see much in this movie. Just in the very beginning and then shows up again at the end. So let's see. The movie opens up and we see Hannah working in her greenhouse. She gets a call from Candace Cameron Bray saying some doctor's office has an appointment available at 1 o'clock. Now, did you recognize Candace's voice as the voice on the phone? I didn't the first time I watched the movie, but I caught it the second time. But yeah, she did the voiceover for that phone call. She tells Rowan about the appointment, but he is not thrilled. He blindsides her by saying he needs a break. He is going to his parents' house for Easter weekend by himself. Oh man, they are completely out of sync. She wants to focus on starting a family. He wants to focus on the two of them and their relationship. So they're obviously not on the same page. Hannah tells her friend Brooke what happened and asks what she would do. She says, go to church and ask God for help. Hannah says, that doesn't work for me. She tried it when she was younger. She gave up on it. Then we see this guy named Franklin finding a gold watch at the beach with a metal detector. He sees there is a phone number engraved on the back of the watch, and he decides to call it. The number, not the watch. Hannah takes Brooke's advice and prays to God, asking for help with her marriage. Just then, her landline phone rings, a phone that she keeps hidden in a drawer. It's Franklin telling her he found her watch. She's like, what are you talking about, Willis? I didn't lose any watch. He says there's a name that starts with the letters R-O and October 11th engraved on the back of it. Hannah says, well, R-O, my hubby's name is Rowan, and our anniversary is October 11th. Hannah tells Brooke what happened and says, isn't that strange? Brooke says, Franklin calling right after you prayed isn't strange. What is strange is that you still have a landline phone. Hannah explains that her dad left when she was young and she kept that phone number, hoping he would call someday. But what I think is strange is that she didn't port that number to her cell phone. She's been wasting money all these years on that landline phone. She could have been using that phone, that number on her cell phone. Hannah then meets Franklin, He gives her the watch and offers to help her find the meaning of it. So Hannah takes her to an antique store, hoping the owner can help them uncover the mystery of the watch. The owner recognizes the maker of the watch and gives them his business card. While they're in the store, they see a couple looking at engagement rings. This girl shows the owner a ring that she likes, and she asks her how much it is. The owner tells her $1,000. The girl puts the ring back. Franklin sees this and buys the ring for the girl. He says it is Good Friday, and many, many years ago, something was bought for me at a much higher price. Ooh, that was a good line. I like that line. And of course, that line is referring to Jesus giving his life for us. Excellent. I like that. They go to the watchmaker's shop, but it is closed for Good Friday. Hannah goes home and cries, looking at her wedding album. She calls Rowan, but she doesn't leave a message. Next day, Brooke takes Hannah for a walk. Brooke tells her to keep searching for the watch's origins. She says, "What if God is leading you to closure with your father?" Hannah says, "Huh, I hadn't thought about that." "What, Hannah? That's the first thing I thought of." Yeah, as soon as the engraving on the watch and everything with the phone number, that's the first thing I thought of. Brooke says, "If you stop now, you're going to regret it." Hannah and Franklin meet the guy who made the watch. He takes the back off and sees it's the first gold watch he ever made. He says he sold it to a British woman who bought it as an anniversary gift for her husband. He says his twin brother might remember who the woman was, so he invites them to his house to milk a cow and make ice cream. Yeah, those are a couple fun scenes where they're milking the cow and making the ice cream. They meet the watchmaker's twin brother. He says he delivered the watch to a diner that the woman's daughter owned. He says it was across the street from a baseball field, and the team had turtles as a mascot. Franklin says, "I know that field. My son played ball there." Hannah shows Franklin her greenhouse. She opens up to him and tells him about the problems she and Rowan are having. She says, "There is something missing in our lives, and I thought a baby would fix us." She asks him, "How did you get into finding lost items with your metal detector and returning them to their owners?" He says, "A long time ago, I lost something important to me, and seeing the joy in people's eyes when I return their items makes me feel what it would be like if I found what I lost." On the way out, she drops an orange. When she bends down to pick it up, she hits the sprinkler control, turning the sprinklers on for a high mist instead of a low mist. The sprinklers come on after they leave and drown her produce. Hannah and Franklin find the restaurant where the watch was delivered. They have a terrible cup of coffee. Hannah tells him about her father leaving and how when Franklin called, she thought it might be him. She says, "I'm glad it was you." The owner of the diner tells them the watch isn't hers. It must belong to a previous owner. Hannah says, "Maybe this is a sign that Rowan and I are no longer meant to be." He confesses to her that his marriage fell apart and he hasn't spoken to his son in 20 years. So that's the thing he lost. That's the thing he was referring to when they were in that antique store when he said he lost something years ago. He was referring to his son. Hannah gets upset, calls him a fraud. She says, "I thought your wife passed away, and I thought you had a great relationship with your son." She gets mad and leaves. So this is the conflict part of the movie. You know, in these movies where these romantic dramas, these two strangers meet and they start developing feelings for each other, and then they get the conflict near the end of the movie and get mad at each other. So this is the conflict in this movie. Hannah goes home and discovers she flooded her greenhouse. She starts sobbing. Of course, there's also a conflict between Hannah and Rowan because they're having marital problems. That's also part of the conflict as well. She realizes her life is falling apart. She takes the watch to the beach. She scolds God for all her problems, and she throws the watch down onto the sand. She goes to a restaurant that is on the beach, but it is closed. And she runs into a woman whose mother used to own the diner where she and Franklin were earlier. The woman's mother shows up, and Hannah tells them about the watch. Hannah wants to know why her phone number is engraved on the back of the watch. And the woman explains, "That was my parents' number before they died." She says that her father had dementia, and her mother had their phone number engraved on the back of the watch so he could always find his way home. She also says that 10:11 is not a date, but a Bible verse. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Those who put their trust in God will never be disappointed. Which actually, the Bible verse says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. But when you translate it, it comes out to what the woman said. She tells Hannah, life is like an ocean. We are sailors and God is a lighthouse that leads us home. You have to stay focused on the lighthouse or you will lose your way. I like that little analogy. That's pretty cool. Hannah says, God has disappointed me my entire life. My father left when I was a child and my marriage is falling apart. The woman says, Easter service is about to begin on the beach. Why don't you join us? So Hannah attends their Easter service. We get a nice song during the service, which I think is probably titled Say Yes to Me, because I believe that was the chorus of the song that kept saying that, which, of course, is talking about saying yes to Jesus, is what the song is about. Hannah breaks down and she begins crying. So this is my favorite scene in the movie right here, this beach scene where they were doing the service. You got this giant cross sticking up out of the sand. Ooh, boy. As soon as I saw that cross, I don't know about you, but I saw that big cross sticking up out of the ground. It immediately made me like I imagined Jesus like hanging on that cross and his blood like dripping down. Oof, what a visual that was. It really hit home for me. It just reminded me of the brutal death that Jesus suffered for our sins. So then Rowan shows up at the service. They apologize to each other, and they make a vow to start their life over. And I appreciate the symbolism in these scenes, with this being Easter. And they're doing the Easter service. And of course, you know, Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus and starting a new life in heaven. And Hannah and Rowan are agreeing to start a new life together. So there's some parallels there. So I appreciated that. Hannah introduces Rowan to the woman who owns the watch, then realizes she threw the watch down on the beach and needs to find it. She goes to Franklin's house. She apologizes to him and asks if he will help her find the watch. While they are at the beach looking for the watch, he tells her he called his son and left a voice message. And then they find the watch. Then we get a flash forward a year, and it's the next Easter. Hannah and Rowan are hosting Easter brunch at their house. Hannah wishes Rowan a happy anniversary, and she says that Easter is like our second anniversary. Franklin and his son show up. Hannah is having pregnancy symptoms. Rowan asks her to take a pregnancy test. She does, but she doesn't look at the result. She walks outside to go to church. She looks up to the sky, smiles, because she knows she is pregnant. And that's how the movie ends. So yeah, this was a nice movie. You know, this was a nice movie to watch for Easter. Nice movie to watch over Easter. Well, it premiered Easter week. It premiered before Easter, but last Tuesday. But yeah, nice Easter movie. I think it should have aired Easter weekend. I think they should have aired it on Saturday rather than last Tuesday. Because the story in the movie takes place over Easter weekend. So I think it would have been cool to watch the movie on that same weekend while the weekend the movie is taking a place, occurring on. I thought that would have been cool. I don't know why they decided to air it way last Tuesday, though. And what I also like about this movie, I like that the main characters in this movie aren't love interests or married, because the main characters in this movie are Hannah and Franklin, and they're just friends. They're just strangers who met on the Thursday before Easter and became friends. So I like that this movie's different from other romantic type dramas that you see. The chemistry in this movie, the couple Hannah and Rowan, I mean, those two are married. They have very little screen time together, like I mentioned before. Rowan, we only see him at the beginning of the movie and at the end. And then there is a quick scene in the middle of the movie where he shows him at home with his parents, at his parents' house. So the main chemistry in this movie is the friendship between Hannah and Franklin. And those two are really good together. But the chemistry that what's his name? Grayston? Has with Laura is good. They play a good married couple, so I definitely believe that they were a couple. Like I said before, my favorite scene, that Easter service on the beach, that really got me. That powerful visual of seeing that cross sticking up out of the ground. Wow. Like I said before, it just hit home. Reminded me of the brutal death that Jesus suffered on the cross for us. That was definitely my favorite part of this movie. There was no meet cute in this movie because the couple in the movie, Hannah and Rowan, are married. So there was no meet cute. But I think this is the second movie on Great American Family that I've seen where the couple is married and not strangers who meet. So I appreciate that. I think the other one was that other Candace movie, A Christmas Present, where she and Mark Blucas played a married couple in that movie. So yeah, I appreciate that these movies where the couple's married instead of two strangers meeting and falling in love. The one thing that disappointed me about this movie, I have to say, I was kind of disappointed that Hannah didn't have any connection to the watch. Because when I was watching the entire movie, I was thinking that the watch was going to belong to her father and that the watch would somehow bring her father back to her, because they introduced that storyline of her father and her keeping that landline phone and her father leaving when she was a child. So yeah, I thought for sure she was going to have some personal connection to that watch, but she didn't. But it was nice that the Bible verse on the back of the watch helped her restore her faith in God and also improve her marriage. That was good. So yeah, good movie, good watch. It's nice to see. It was nice to have to watch this movie the week of Easter or the week leading up to Easter. And you know what? I wasn't sure if this movie was going to be about Easter because they advertised it as an Easter movie. But I was thinking that they may have been just saying that. I was hoping it was going to be an Easter movie, but I was afraid that it was just going to be a romantic drama that kind of took place during spring. And I was afraid it wasn't going to have a connection to Easter. So I was really happy that this movie was about Easter and definitely had an Easter connection, because the movie starts off on the Thursday before Easter, and then the story of the movie progresses on Good Friday. They mentioned that it's Good Friday, and then Saturday, and then Easter Sunday. So it's nice to have some Easter movies. We're bombarded every year with Christmas movies, but you never get to see Easter movies. So yeah, I appreciate this. I'm glad that the network did this. So let me know what you thought of this movie. Also, let the network know what you thought of this movie by logging on to their website at greatamericanfamily.com and clicking the movie link or movie review link. And don't forget the Great American Book Club coming up April 25th. And you can sign up for that also on Great American Family's website. They will email you the Zoom link to participate in that. And also coming up, don't know when, but hopefully soon, we'll get the mystery movie with Candace, the one she's starring in with Aaron Ashmore. Other than that, that's about all I know that's happening right now. And coming up, we will have to wait and see if we get some other movies before that one or not. As always, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and your podcast apps. Write a review. That always helps the podcast. And as always, you can find me on social media at Great American Chat and at Chad Maurice. Oh, we got someone in the chat here. Jay says, thanks, Chad. Interesting take on the show. Do you know what the book is that they are discussing? Hold on. Let me look. It was, what I say, Jane Eyre? Yeah, they're Cammie and Father Randy during the book club. They're to be discussing Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. So that is it. Until next time, chatters, you keep the faith. Keep smiling. Keep your friends close and keep your great American family closer. Thanks for being here.